And it's 11:30 on Sunday, and I'm exhausted, but I know that I'm not actually gonna go to sleep yet. I'm just gonna sit and scroll on TikTok for the next hour until I fall asleep. So I thought, why not record a podcast? Because I want to start uploading consistently on Mondays. Anyways, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Am I Famous Yet podcast. I'm Vera. I have a raspy voice because I was hot girling it up all weekend and I lost my voice, or I'm losing it. But do we like it? I feel like I sound sexy with a raspy voice. I think they're sexy a little bit. There's a fine line between like sexy raspy voice and smoker raspy voice. And I'm not sure. I think I'm right on the line of sexy right before raspy. Anyways, a lot has changed in the last 7 days. I recorded an episode last week that I was going to upload this Monday, but when I talked about the Will Smith debacle, I talked about what happened on my last Boston trip, but both of those situations, I need to redact my statements from last week's episode. I actually think I'm going to pull a double whammy, a part one and a part two, so it makes sense. So hopefully you're listening to this after the first episode. I changed my stance on the Will Smith, Chris Rock altercation because it's a week later. Today's, yeah, it's Sunday, so it's exactly a week after the infamous $1 million slap on stage at the Oscars. The more information and investigating that goes on, the worse it gets. Honestly, I was hoping that it would. You know, I really didn't think it was going to last this long. I did not think that Will was going to have the repercussions that he's having right now. I don't know why. I don't know if I thought that he was about to Caucasian it up, but I don't know. I just thought that because it was black on black crime, maybe that he was going to get away with it. But oh my brother, that is not how it's going down. At first, I was so proud of this black love, you know, this man sticking up for his wife, you know, because of her medical, I'm not me almost saying alleged, because of her medical condition. I can empathize with that. I think, and everyone has, you know, something, a sensitive topic or an insecurity that they, even the funniest of people know, like, okay, like this one, you know, maybe you can laugh at it, but not on stage at the Oscars. So for that, I empathize with him. And what is she, like 5'3"? Like, what was Jada gonna do, run up on there in her big poofy dress and smack him? No. So, you know, she nodded to Will to handle her light work. But then I think, like, that was pretty impulsive. Like, whew, to go from giggling to looking at your wife to then less than a minute later walking on stage and smacking another man. Like, what the fuck was he thinking? I just think that's so impulsive. And then a friend of mine, Aaron, made a good point that when he went up to accept his award, you know, he made these statements about being a vessel of love and so emotional. And she's like, I feel like that is kind of a gateway to excusing domestic violence for being acceptable because you're emotional, or, you know, because of love or whatever. And I was like, at first I thought that was ridiculous and a little absurd to compare domestic violence, you know, a partner like hating another partner, to what I then interpreted as a husband defending his wife to a stranger or to the world. But now I'm like, you're right. We can't just, you know, Olivia, please stop snoring. Mommy's trying to podcast, okay? Thank you. Don't know what I was saying. Oh my God. Olivia. Livy, wake up. Anyway, yeah, but what's it called? Isn't there the I believe there is a, not a charge, but I don't know. Can't you commit a crime out of passion or something? Like, you're so drawn up in the moment and so emotional that sometimes you just act out of impulse. I don't know. I think that my mom made a really good point that if it was the Rock on stage making a joke, or even Kevin Hart, she doesn't think that would have went down the way it did. I don't know. Chris Rock's, you know, no press is bad press because his tour sold out. People are talking about Chris Rock for, I feel like, the first time in a while. People who don't know who Chris Rock was or is now do. But I'm sure that it is traumatizing to be slapped. My uncle was like, that does something to a man's ego, to a man's pride. I'm like, yeah. Oh, how about Joe Rogan putting his imprint on the privilege of Will Smith to think that he can do that? I said, sir, listen, Linda, read the room and sit down. No one needs your N-word saying Caucasian self to have any input on this. Not because he's white, but because the nerve of him to talk about privilege and all the outlandish, ridiculous things that he says. No, want to talk about privilege? Your privilege is that you can say that and still make more than six figures and have a job. Can we just, this is my true issue with the matter. I think that, okay, I have been criticized by multiple friends that I make inappropriate jokes, and I have been accused of being a bully by hoes because they didn't find my hilarious jokes to be funny. So in that regard, I'm like, okay, it's a joke. Don't take yourself too seriously. Get over it. If you don't like it, move on. Say something else and keep it moving. But to hit someone, I don't know. I was gonna say something. I just, I don't know. Oh, what I was gonna say is, I think that there needs to be, I'm sure, apparently this is a record-breaking events occurring. No person has gone on stage and slapped any other Academy members before. But can we talk about how Mark Wahlberg, I believe, has been to jail? I know that he had like allegations for like hate crimes, so I'm pretty sure he went to jail because of them. Harvey Weinstein and was it Kevin Spacey? A bunch of actors have had run-ins with the law over violent crimes, sex crimes, crimes against children, and none of their awards have been taken away. No, it didn't occur on stage with, the cameras rolling it and a live audience, but who the hell gives an award to someone who knows that they have pleaded guilty to having child porn? Are you kidding me? No. Why does Carly, what's his name? Harvey Weinstein to have all of his awards? I think it's kind of hypocritical. It's not giving for me. So yeah, I wanted to clear that up. I am no longer Team Will Smith. I just am removing myself from this debacle. I kind of am over it at this point. Whatever happens, happens. It has nothing to do with me. A lot of my grandma has that point of view. I used to love watching RIP, the Wendy Williams show. Not that she's dead, but the show is basically in the ground. I love watching it and watching the gossip. And Wendy would always say, give her our spiel on the celebrities, and I'd be like, well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to Jersey, live my life, and be a normal person. I think that's the joy of celebrity gossip and broadcasting pop culture, if you will, because you can put your give your input, you can be all nosy, care, and all that stuff, and then you can disassociate. Will Smith actions have absolutely nothing to do with me, so I'm not going to be too invested. Do I think it's interesting? Yeah, of course. Do I think it is entertaining? Absolutely. But yeah, on to the next. So, I got accepted into the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Clap for hold for applause. Thank you. Thank you very much. Feeling like a million bucks. You can't tell me anything. I'm feeling like an academic woman, a beacon of success. The next Michelle Obama. I'm feeling great. I have only been to Boston 2.5 times. I would say three. I've been to Boston 3 times, and my third being the trip this weekend. And I'm having a little bit of a crisis. I went for St. Patrick's Day, had a great time, really could see myself living in Boston. I love that. I think it's pretty similar to Washington, D.C. I don't think it's as busy. It's not as busy as New York, which I don't like. It's walkable, unlike California. It's not gross and humid. I mean, granted, it's winter, but it's not gross and humid like Miami. I feel like it's such a perfect mix of a bunch of cities. The one thing it lacks is diversity. How I interpret Boston is as being a very segregated city. Yes, there are black people, yes, there are Cape Verdeans and Haitians and Spanish people, Dominican people, all that, but it just seems like you have to travel to specific places. And all cities and neighborhoods have that, but it seems to be very, very drastic in Boston. And I wasn't being black is so difficult because this is something you have to take into account when you're trying to get a higher education. You know, when you're in primary school, middle school, high school, you're going to school with people in your neighborhood. You're going to school where people you live around. So if you live around black people, like it just kind of is what it is. When you go off to college, then you get to choose what you're looking for. Do you want to be near the beach? Do you want to be in a diverse area? Do you want to be at a school that prioritizes athletics, music, all those things? So now I have to take into account, do I want to live in a state, in an area, go to a school where no one looks like me? Do I want to subject myself knowingly to being the only black person in a 4 mile radius? And I toured the UMB campus and it was great. During orientation, they said that 60% of applicants this year didn't identify as white, which is, what to me seems, really big for, a big check for diversity, especially for Massachusetts, and just in general for, public school. But we went out Saturday night. A friend and I went out Saturday night who lives in Boston, who I'm considering roommating with, and we went out by, was it TD Stadium, TD Bank, North Station, whatever, and we had fun. It was good, but I was the only black person, and I just felt like I was getting stared at like a literal fucking circus monkey. I wasn't getting stared at because I was so beautiful and so tall. Well, that's not how it felt. It didn't feel like I was being gawked at and admired. It felt like I was just like an eyesore. It was so uncomfortable. DC is not Chocolate City and is not as diverse as it used to be, allegedly, because it hasn't been diverse in my lifetime or adult lifetime. But the fact that I just walked into bars and people would just look me up and down, and men would just say really kind of nothing outlandish, but it was just so weird. And this one guy would just stare at me. You know, when like you end a conversation, like mid conversation, you just like stretch and you kind of move your eyes around so you're not just like staring into someone's soul for a 45-minute conversation. I do that and I notice that Peter at the goddamn bar is staring at me. And then he tries to turn away and avoid eye contact. I'm like, dude, I fucking saw you. I'm not an idiot. Are you kidding me? I have eyes in the back of my goddamn head. Just, I don't know. And if to be frank, it's making me rethink wanting to go to UMass because I don't want to deal with that. And I don't want to have to say, okay, Allie, yeah, we can go out, but I want to go out in Roxbury because I want to see people who look like me and I don't want to be treated like a circus monkey. And, okay. Also, are Bostonians just rude or racist? If you're black, if you're a person of color, you probably understand this mentality. You deal with a white person and just this racing thought in your head is, would they treat me this way if I was white? If I looked any different, would I still be getting the same treatment? And I was just thinking that constantly in Boston. So, prime example, I'm at the bar. First of all, I had to pay to get in. Excuse me, Allie paid. Love you, Allie. But what I usually like my go-to is, oh, sorry, I don't have cash. Why did this hoe at the fucking door hand me like one of those like card reader things, so you can put your card in and use Apple Pay? I said, oh no, ma'am. Boston is a little too tech savvy for me. All those damn MIT kids and Harvard kids said, no. Here, you check out my new and portable card invention. Fuck that. So, I go in. I don't know what I was saying before that. I go in and I'm like, I need a drink. They're playing the edited what's that Kanye West song? She messa with a broke. She says he says nigga, but this song that they're playing in the club, as Ali quotes, was the Caucasian version. So instead of saying she ain't messing with no broke nigga, it says broke. Anyway, the. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. They're playing edited versions of songs, which I frankly thought was brilliant. But I go to the bar because I thoroughly need one at this point. And if you're 21 or over, or in another country where you can drink, in DC, this has been the etiquette that I've picked up on, the etiquette that I've learned for going to a bar, especially in a club, specifically in a club. You go up, they're 9 times out of 10 making drinks, because when do you see a bartender with lounge time? Fucking never. So I just say, hey, vodka crayon, like when you get a chance. The two bartenders that night, the first guy was like, I'll be with you. And it's like, don't you see I'm doing something? Nigga, listen, Jackson. What the fuck? Do you want me to sit here and say, hey, hi, excuse me, I'm just gonna wait here when you're done? First of all, I don't know if everyone was drunk or stoned or what, because they were just sitting so uncomfortably. Is that the standard in New England? Do you just wait until people are just done making drinks? No, the bars were packed. So if I had just waited and waited around until he, air quote, had a minute, I would have never gotten a fucking drink. That's why I had to jump in there. And after that, people were like, oh shit, maybe I should be a little bit more forthcoming. Fuck yeah, baby needed a drink. I was the only black person besides the fucking staff in the establishment. Did you think I wasn't gonna need some liquid courage to deal with this bullshit? No. So at the second bar, the woman's pouring fucking Jaeger bombs, okay? Listen, people probably order the same 10 drinks, okay? No one's ordering anything super fucking outlandish that you have to go check your bartender brochure in the back to figure out how to make, okay? Pour the damn Jaeger bombs and then open the Coronas, okay? That's all you gotta do, Amanda. She looks up at me. I'm doing something. Bitch! Want me to write it down for you and you bring it back to me? So you know what she does? She serves the Jaeger bombs and the fucking 4 Coronas she have to pop the screw off of. And then she hands me my vodka crayon. Exactly. But then I said, you know what? Y'all are making this real, real easy for me. Because, if I'm being honest, I'm not a big fan on tipping, okay? I used to work, I used to be a hostess, and I couldn't accept tips, okay? So I'm a little bitter about that. If the service is extraordinary, yes, sometimes then I will tip. But they made it hella fucking easy. Jackson, you didn't get a tip. I put a big fat X right through that tips line. Amanda, you didn't either. Handed you that funky dumbass $7 and then on to the next since you want to be a bitch. But now that I know that Bostonians are just assholes, it kind of prepares me to deal with them. Now I'm like, okay, baby, okay. I can fight fire with fire. If that's what you want to do, if you want to tussle, we can tussle. But I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be cordial. Baby was trying to be classy. But no, no. See, you give someone an inch, they take a mile. I lost my Gucci limited edition Bumblebee card holder. And you're wondering, Vera, how'd you lose a card holder? We went to dinner. Allie met my mom and my sister, and we went to dinner before we hit the town, honey. So I had my coat, I had my little crossbody purse. Baby was ready, okay? I don't like being cold. I'm African American. Prior to slavery, my people were from Africa, a warm climate, okay? Baby does not do well with the cold. Therefore, I will always take a coat when I leave the house if it is below 60 degrees. I'm gonna have a jacket. Sadly, I had this fucking huge Patagonia coat, but I don't know. I also thought that cold climates would have like coat checks. I don't know. Is that like an old lady thing? But I just figured, who the fuck goes clubbing in the winter in Boston with their fucking $1,000 coats, Montclair, Patagonia, what's it called? Not Golden Goose, Canada Goose coats. What am I just gonna do? Hold it in my hand the whole goddamn time? Or do I risk my life, leave my coat at home, and hit the club and hope that alcohol keeps me warm? No, babes, I'm taking my coat. I'm gonna make friends with someone at the bar so that they can hold it for me. I digress. I order those dumbass expensive ass drinks from the stupid fucking rude ass bartenders, and at some point I lost my wallet. I was shwasted. Not even white girl shwasted. I was effed up. I finally discover that my wallet's gone. When we're about to leave, I'm searching all over the place. This is like a 4-level club. I'm stumbling up and down these damn things. There's alcohol and water and all types of shit on the floor. It's gone. And I knew immediately, I'm like, this fucking wallet. But hopefully, their pride and prejudice gets in the way, and they're like, oh, fucking a Blackie? They can't afford Gucci. This is definitely from a Chinatown somewhere. And I was hoping then they would return it, but I checked last night, I checked this morning, wallet's gone. Credit card, that's maxed out. Bank card, insurance card, Bloomingdale's card with like $250 worth of rewards points on there, gone. Oh, fuck, damn it, even my American Eagle $25 gift card's on there. Damn. Oh my gosh, that is so disappointing. Whoever has my wallet is about to be living their best mother trucking life right now. Anyways, so I've never lost a wallet. I kind of feel like this is a little bit of a rite of passage because I've never injured myself drunk. I've never lost anything after a crazy night out. And apparently everyone has to do that at some point. So I just wish it was with a Vera Bradley wallet and not a gift card attached. But, you know, live, laugh, love. Let's now talk about, what else? I'm looking at my list of things. Redact statement on Will Smith. Oh, I'm a Leo, and I also am a hopeless romantic. I think that's the right word. I'm not quite sure. But if any person is nice to me, specifically a man, this sounds a little narcissistic, but it just depends on the way that they're nice to me. No. If any man is nice to me, I think they like me, 100%. They could be a 75-year-old man at the bingo hall who says, here, kiddo, use my hole puncher. I'm going to be like, Mom, you know he totally wants to, like, marry me, right? Like, how cute of a husband would he be? And it never fails me. We were at the college orientation, and the fine arts, Latinx male professor comes up and tries to say to take his dance class. And I'm like, Stokely, I'm going to wife him up. I'm going to take fucking dance 105, and I'm going to get me some Raphael. And she's like, looks like he's gay, but live your life, girl. So, we went to a restaurant for dinner in Boston, and they were apparently seating people an hour behind, like, current time, so our reservation was at 9:30. They were still seating people with 8:30 reservations. We got to our reservation 15, 20 minutes late, and one of our guests, Allie, wasn't even there. How did she beat the black people? I don't know how she beat the black people to dinner, but I digress. I go inside to wait in the lobby because it's small, but it was fucking cold outside, and the owner comes up to me and he's like, oh, is your party here? I'm like, yeah, most of them, they're outside. He's like, okay, let me get you a table. Beep, boop, bop, bop. He has about four other parties waiting in front of us. I'm like, Mom, this green blouse is really giving it what it was supposed to give, because my Italian grandpa Zaddy just squeezed us in, been like a VIP right now, been like a boss bitch. Maybe the North isn't so bad after all. Oh, Boston men are pussies, for lack of better terms, okay? They're too scared to come up to talk to you. They're too scared to buy your drink. There was this guy that was dancing so awkwardly and so uncomfortably close to me half of the night, and I was just gone, so I wasn't noticing him, but I could just feel the presence of someone looking at me and super close to me. So I just happened to look over, and I'm like, what? And he goes, hi. So the music's blaring, the lights are flashing. He's kind of trying to talk, but I can't hear him. Long story short, he's talking to me, and I'm not really interested. I'm like, okay, yeah, can you, like, back up? Then he asks me where I'm from. I tell him Maryland, that's where he's from. This man goes, Patty. It was like a movie scene. I put my hand up in Allie's face so quick and was like, bitch, back off. Whatever you thought I wasn't digging at first, I am now. If you have an accent and you're from another country, your rating automatically goes up 5 points. I shit you not. This man looked like Sharpay Evans' brother in High School Musical, Ryan Evans. He looked like him. He had kind of like the spicy hair going on. I can't remember what color his pants were. He had like a button-up floral print shirt, very J. Crew-esque. Pants were kind of fitted, maybe a cargo pant with a belt. He was about my height. I have boots on. I did have my Doc Martens, so I would say he's about 6 foot, blonde hair. But when he told me he was from France and a mathematician, dollar signs and hearts were just jumping out of my fucking eyeballs. And I'm like, oh my god, maybe he's my, like, the future love of my life. Like, I could totally see myself living in France. This is mad. He's good at math. I'm horrible at math. I need to take it in the fall. I need to keep this man around. So then after all this time of him just lingering by me, then we're kind of kiki-kiing. And then he goes, oh, I shouldn't leave my friends. And then he walks off. I'm like, Frenchie, what are you doing? Come back. His name was Guillermo. Am I saying that right? Yeah. Guillermo. Gino. Something like that. The one that got away. The one that got away. And then I stalk him, find him again, and then I go over and I make fun of his dancing skills. Who the fuck am I? Have I lost my flair? I'm losing friends by making fun of them. Why did I think that I was going to get... Olivia? Olivia. I know you are not barking in your sleep. Are you freaking kidding me right now? Livy. You want to go outside? Okay. Yeah, I don't know why I thought that that would be my way to secure this foreigner. And then I had the brilliant idea to look at his Spotify. So I'm like, if you can't dance, you're clearly not bumping to niggas in Paris and Tupac. There's just no way. So we scroll through his Spotify, and it's literally music and things I've never fucking heard of. All French music, rappers, whatnot. And like EDM, like, so I guess that explains why he was literally jumping up and down like a buoy in the beach, at the beach. Like, it was very, very weird. And even Android, minus a half a point. I should have fucking put my number in his phone. But if he was only visiting from France, I doubt he had service because he like played a song for me. But I'm like, I don't want him to rack up my data phone bill because I'm texting some fucking loser in France who doesn't have an iPhone. Like, what? And he was 33. I couldn't, like, Snapchat him or give him my Instagram. That was fucking weird. The one that got away. So, don't let alcohol block your blessings. Moral of the story. Because that can totally happen. And it's the worst feeling afterwards. Like, I just woke up and I was leaving the bar. I'm like, damn it. Like, should I have said something different? But I'm not gonna chase. I ain't about to chase no mans. That's not happening. Back to what I was saying about, I know this is super chaotic because I'm super tired and I am probably speaking out of my armpits at this point. What was I saying? Boston men are pussies. I have never gone, it's not even about being pretty. It's about energy. It's about vibes. It's about, I guess, men just being thirsty and wanting to be cool. I have never gone out and paid for drinks. Never in my life. You know what I go out with? An empty stomach, an iPhone, and no wallet. IEY, I usually never lose my wallet because it does not leave my purse after I show the bouncer my ID. I'm here and I am buying drinks left and right. I'm like, this is ass. Not one guy has said, let me get you a drink. What are you drinking? One lady with like a gold American Express card handed me and Allie some Jaeger bomb shots. And I was like, Allie, I think she wants to fuck us. I think that's why she did that. She was like, no, I think she's just like a cool girl or something. I don't know. So we got Jaeger bombs from her. And then I was leaving the bar and this guy like said, it's like, Connor looking ass man says something to me and then he tries to like hold my hand and smile. Dude, I'm drunk and I'm tired and my wallet is gone. I don't know what that means. You need to be a little bit more forthcoming if you want to hit this, okay? Because just a stare and a handhold is not giving me what it's supposed to give. I would rather wear a pair of jeans than ask a man for his number. I'm not doing it unless you look like motherfucking Michael B. Jordan. I don't want to do it, okay? Women make less than men. Black women make even less than white women. I'm not going to go after you first. It's not going like that. Oh my gosh. And then at the bar across the street, we end up meeting these guys who are hockey players. At first, one of the friends threw in that they were hockey players. Let me tell you, I was ignoring them, avoiding eye contact. He mentions hockey, playing hockey. And I was like, oh, are you like... And I tried to play it up. I'm like, no, you're not. You don't play for the NFL, NHL. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't know what he said. I think he said no. So I don't know what he just meant. The fucking recreational league, lame. But, oh my gosh. Stuff like that makes my ears light the fuck up. But if that's how broskies, sport broskies, hockey guys act, keep them 5 million feet away from me. First of all, four of them, they were like sitting up against the wall. They all had Chester the Molester mustache goatee things with like disconnecting sideburns that and streaks that went down their neck. It was hard. It was atrocious. And I was trying to hook Allie up with one of them. Not, like, their beards were atrocious, but, like, they weren't inherently gross, but at least they weren't for me. Come to find out, the Danny DeVito lookalike with the fucking chin hair, the chin straps going down his neck, has a thing, quote, for tall black girls. Listen, Trevor. It's not happening. Unless you're playing for the goddamn Bruins or the what's it called? The Blackhawks. It ain't going down like that. If this is what Boston has in store for me, paying for drinks, getting hit on men who just, like, circle jerk each other, I don't want it, okay? The men could barely hold a conversation and keep eye contact with us. They just kept, like, bouncing lame dad jokes off of each other. It just went bing to the left, one, two, and then back to the middle, and then to the right. They were like, huh. When we showered together, we know that he's so stupid. Then guy number four says, you're stupid. And then guy number one goes, I know, right? It was just, it felt like an episode of, like, Bob's Burgers. Or not Bob's Burgers. What's that other show where it's super ugly? They're like claymation figures. And they work at, like, a burger store or something. That's the energy that I was getting. It was just super weird. I didn't like it. So we ended up walking off and just giggling, dying to ourselves. And then we went to the next place. But, yeah, I need to make some friends in Boston because cover charges, not my thing. Paying for drinks, also not my thing. But I'm more inclined to make friends with the bouncer staffs because in my experience, I've noticed them all to be black. Let's see what else is on the list of things we need to talk about. If not anything, I'm going to sleep. Boston guys are pussies / rude AF / being the only black girl. Did I feel about that? Oh, getting super high. Recreational weed is legal in Boston in the great state of Massachusetts. And it has been a game changer for me. I never really considered myself a marijuana girl. A couple times I attempted to smoke it. It just made my lungs hurt. I coughed for 45 minutes afterwards and nothing really happened. Or I got super paranoid. But edibles from dispensaries? Oh, baby. They are something serious, okay? You know you can get weed delivered in Boston? Like I said, I'm not even really into weed. I never have been before prior to St. Paddy's Day weekend. But it's so cool because it's so accessible. Like, it just makes it. In a way, it's kind of an incentive. I'm like, I've never done weed, but since I can have it fucking DoorDash to me, why don't I try it? My mom's concerned that I'm going to become an entire fucking drug addict, but I'm like, Mom, just be mindful that it is a plant with medicinal purposes and is legal. So, politely hand me another edible. It was great, but my friend and I were literally in the club, and it felt like a scene from Euphoria. You know when Maddie and Cassie season one were on the carousel just like in their own world, just laughing, just thinking their own life, whatever they have going on is reality. That was me and my friend for a moment. We were laughing at the bar, at this like sports bar, at absolutely nothing. She thinks that she has like lockjaw. My mouth is so dry that I can barely talk. Like, I'm talking like this. And we just can't stop laughing. I'm comparing people at the bar to fictional characters. I saw Danny DeVito, Humpty Dumpty. I was like, at this point, we need to go home because I'm incapable of having a serious conversation with someone. And then with people being so rude, I'm like, am I going to... I can't even start a fight with anyone or defend myself because I'm going to start laughing at them and it's so ridiculous. But yeah, Boston, what would I rate it? I would rate it a cute little 7.8 out of 10. Transportation's great. They have multiple Equinox gyms, so that's really where the ratings are coming from. Tomorrow I have to go to work. Can't wait to see my little Juju Bee, my nanny kid. It's going to be fun, but it's Monday and I think it's going to be cold, so... Oh, and my legs are killing me. Does anyone else do this? If I'm, like, not active for a long time, and then I start, like, I go a day and I walk, like, a mile, by that night, my legs are going to feel like I just ran a marathon, and I didn't even do anything excessive, but I just haven't had any type of extended movement in a very long time, so my grandma arthritis legs are acting up. Okay, 34 minutes. I think that's a decent amount of time. and a good way for me to end this on, a good time for me to end this on. What else can I say? Yeah, this was fun. This was a nice little recap to decompress and clear my brain after this crazy chaotic weekend. It was great. I had so much fun with my friend who let me spend the night with her. I can't wait for her to be my roomie in September and go on these ridiculous excursions with all year long, because it's going to be a good time. I can't wait. All right, I will talk to you later. Follow me on Instagram at Pastor Potato Head. And follow me on TikTok at Pastor Potato Head. Follow me on Instagram at UnicornFarts69. And have a blessed one. And what month is it? April? I was going to say be good to women. Oh, it's African American April. So yeah, be good to African Americans. Yeah, bye.